All rise. Summons of court, the United States District Court for the District of Alaska is now in session. The Honorable John D. Roberts is presiding. Please be seated.
Matter set before the court at this time is sentencing in AO3-230MJ. Defendant and counsel are present. Counsel ready to proceed?
We are, Your Honor.
Mr. Ross?
We are.
I note in the sentencing memoranda that comment was made that there was no pre-sentence report. None is required, and I don't believe one was requested. So we'll proceed on the basis of the court's information from the trial and from what the parties indicate here today. So this is the time for sentencing, Mr. Frederick. I'll hear from the attorneys, and then I'll give you a chance to speak if you choose. You don't have to, but you may. Let me hear from the government first as to your position on sentencing.
Your Honor, the government recommends in this situation that a fine of $1,500. This particular offense under the MPS bail forfeiture schedule, which has been approved by this court, is $250. So the fine recommendation here is greater than what would be covered by where the bail forfeiture schedule used. We have essentially four reasons for doing this, Your Honor, for making this recommendation, believing that it is necessary to go beyond what the forfeiture schedule provides, because we see this as being the circumstances of this offense as going beyond what was normally contemplated by the schedule. The situation here is the reasons for going past the amount is one, that the defendant built the bridges even though he has had past experience with securing special use permits from the Park Service, is familiar with the system, and has lived in the area for a substantial period of time. We don't have a situation of somebody coming into the area not being familiar with the park or the regulations and the procedures which govern it. Mr. Frederick also built not one, but three different bridge structures, which we showed during the trial in this case. Any one of those single structures would have been a basis for issuance of the violation notice for violation of 36 CFR 5.7. So we have not really one, but we only brought one violation. We have, it's a large violation. We've got three different structures. An additional thing, which relates really to the first one, but is that the defendant was informed by the Park Service specifically that before he took actions out in the park working on trails, that he would need a permit. Assistant Superintendent Sharp in August of 2002 explained the requirements to Mr. Frederick of the environmental requirements, that this would require some processing under the National Environmental Policy Act, and again the permitting, which is all part of this process, and that process would have to be done before any kind of work on trails, whether it be brushing, clearing, excavating, putting in fill, building bridges or whatnot, would have to be complied with before anything was done. But yet the defendant nevertheless chose to go forward without requesting the permit and going through the necessary environmental process, which would have determined whether or not construction of these bridge structures was appropriate. Finally, we had the testimony of Assistant Superintendent Sharp after the bridges were discovered, Assistant Superintendent Sharp's testimony, that he asked Mr. Frederick why he had gone forward and built these without securing the permit. And the Assistant Superintendent testified that Mr. Frederick told him that he didn't expect that the Park Service would give him a permit. And so therefore, he just went ahead and did it anyway. These circumstances, Your Honor, we believe argue in favor of a fine that goes of a $1,500 fine. And we believe that this fine of this size should impress upon the defendant the seriousness of the offenses, hopefully deter him from taking future conduct such as this, and also sends a message that the Park Service is attempting to protect the resources that Park represents, and that these types of actions are not ones that people should take. Thank you.
What is the status of those bridges today, to your knowledge?
It's my understanding, Your Honor, those bridges are still where they are. Park Service, I believe, does plan to remove them, but due to the weather, we'll have to wait until the seasons change.
What does the Park Service plan to do with respect to remedying or changing the situation besides simply removing those bridges? Is that all the Park Service plans to do?
Well, with respect to these particular structures, that's the appropriate response is yes, they do plan to go in and remove them. It will have to occur over a period of time. As the court may recall, the photographs of the bridges shows them to be rather submerged, so we'll have to wait till all that thaws out, move them to an area where they can dry out, and either feasible, perhaps burn them in place, removing all the metal, or then having to haul them out at a later date when the conditions are suitable.
What I was looking to hear was whether there's any more planned discussions or notice. I guess the Park Service doesn't want the trail there. Is that?
That's correct. Yes, and the area in which these particular bridges were built is not specifically closed. There were some other trail construction in the area, which or trails that were caused by people using it in that area has been closed as a trail by the Park Service. And that was actually the process that was being undertaken by the Park Service I believe it would have been 2002. Trying to remember my dates back now, but when they had the meeting in Solana with a large group of folks.
And the meeting, according to the evidence, was sort of a town meeting to brainstorm what to do about the access. What was the purpose of the meeting if the Park Service simply doesn't want a trail? You could just say, we don't want a trail there, period.
The purpose of the meeting has been characterized as a town meeting brainstorming, but really the purpose of the meeting was Park Service was complying with departmental regulations that if it is closing an area to a particular type of access, that it must provide notice and meet with the local people in the vicinity to explain what the goals of the purpose of the closure and to discuss what alternatives, if there are any, but it's not so much, it's not a matter of getting permission, it's more a matter of, it's an informational thing, and to see whether there are other ways to deal with whatever the particular situation was. Here, the goal of the meeting was essentially to provide people notice and to discuss the need to close that trail. Although, again, I want to emphasize for the court that the three bridges that are in question are not on the segment of the trail that had been noticed closed.
And was there some other charge, such as a Class A, that could have been brought rather than a Class B?
We did not explore it. I don't believe that we had any. With respect to these structures, the Class B was the appropriate, and under the Park Service regulations, this was the appropriate charge to bring.
Thank you. Mr. Ross?
Thank you. Let me first address counsel's four reasons for alleging the fine should be $1,500. He says that Mr. Frederick built bridges and was familiar with the system, and I think the testimony showed that the Park Service had requested input from the parties and requested help and said they didn't have the money. And Mr. Frederick built those as a test, as a project, and sent those on to Mr. Arnberger to show what could be done. He did build three as alternatives. He denies being informed that he'd need a permit, and he denies claiming that he told Ranger Sharp that he didn't apply for one because I didn't think he'd get one. You know, I've been practicing law for 35 years, and in the old days when we were here, we'd pick up hitchhikers because we looked out for one another as Alaskans. You'd see somebody on the road, you'd pick them up, give them a ride to maybe a gas station or maybe even take them back with gas. But we can't, we don't do that so much anymore because we can't trust people. Because when we try to help people, sometimes we get mugged. And I see that situation here. The Park Service was duplicitous in this case. They let people know that they wanted to have a meeting because they wanted to consider alternatives, but in point of fact, the decision had been made to close the trails. Your questions this morning showed more insight than your decision, in my opinion, because your questions this morning hit right to the heart of the matter, and that is, why did you have the meeting? And council, of course, being accurate, says because we had to. But that isn't the reason that was advanced at the meeting. It was advanced to get people's input to see what could be done when, in fact, the decision had been made to close the trails. And people came there in good faith thinking, we can help out. There's things that we can do. And Mr. Fredericks helped out, like picking up a hitchhiker. And he's got mugged by having to appear in court after a citation. This is the first time I've had trial before this court. I'm just sorry that the court couldn't see what really is taking place here and what we attempted to portray to you. We have a federal system that's not being open and above board in its dealings with the general public. The decision had been made to close the trails, but they have to, by regulation, have a meeting. And on retrospect, we moved the trial along. We got Ranger Sharp to testify what he told the people there, but maybe we should have even played the whole tape for you. It was about an hour and a half, and that's valuable court time. And after he admitted what he had said, that he was asking for help, wanted people's input, I felt that that was the major testimony that the tape would have brought out. But maybe just the whole picture of what took place there, and the fact that here was this man saying, we don't have the money to maintain these trails. Well, in point of fact, they didn't intend to allow the trails. Didn't matter how much money they had. And I thought you might see the fact that here they claimed that they didn't have the money to maintain the trails, and yet there was substantial money spent on airplane rides looking at the trails thereafter. There was substantial money spent in prosecuting Mr. Fredericks, far more than it would have taken to fix the trails up, I believe. We had rangers come down from the park for the trial. I think, if I recall, there were at least three. We got rangers sitting in the courtroom today, away from their duties. In effect, the National Park Service is paying more to prosecute this man than if they had just said, we got some bucks to fix up the trails. How much money did they spend? We don't know. I know how much Mr. Frederick's attorney's fees are, and they're substantial. I intend to take the appeal from this case pro bono, because he can't afford an appeal. But one should be done, because what the Park Service has done was not correct, was not credible, was not honest. When you have an Alaskan, an old school Alaskan, who attempts to help people out, and it says, here's my proposal, and the testimony was there was a work shop set up to discuss these things, and Mr. Arnberger's email to Mr. Frederick said, discuss this, it's a viable solution. And Mr. Fredericks testified that he tried to discuss it, didn't get it discussed, they weren't interested. And then several days later, he gets a citation. There's dishonesty there on the Park Service. There shouldn't be any fine, there shouldn't be any conviction, but you've made your decision on that regard. And I would submit to you that the fine, if any, should be minimal. We have an indirect loss of his daughter as a result of Park Service having filed this charge. He's had to come into town numerous times, meet with his attorney numerous times. And there's a great interest in this case. The court's well aware of the case of the Pilgrims. And the Pilgrims were people that came into the country recently and got in difficulties with the Park Service, and there's been a lot of press and brouhaha about what was going on. We didn't handle that case this way. Mr. Frederick is a good neighbor. Mr. Frederick felt that he would simply appear in court and explain to the court why he did what he did, and that would take care of the matter. It wasn't necessary to try cases in the press. Mr. Frederick and I are disappointed it didn't work out that way. And that's one of the reasons I intend to appeal. Mr. Frederick has a statement, John. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Frederick, you have the right of allocution. I'll certainly listen to what you have to say. I'll ask that you do stand.
Your Honor, you have made your decision, but I feel I have this to say. I've lived in this part of the state since before statehood. I was born and raised in the area. I've watched the NPS come in, and over the years I've watched the NPS employees change the interpretations of the park regulations. I've watched the Park Service harass all types of visitors to the park so that they will not come back to visit the park. I have never seen the National Park Service try to work with the locals or the public. We've noticed the trend of the National Park Service of trying to take away our access rights. So a group of us tried to come up with a solution to this, one of several problems that we have with the National Park Service. I was a spokesman for this group. I went to Mr. Arberger, the regional director of the National Park Service, with this problem because of all of our efforts to work with the local NPS officials were to no avail. And it was determined to set up a workshop to work on this. The local NPS officials twisted this workshop away from what we'd had set up. Basically what they'd done was gone to my access rather than the problem we were working on for the community. The bridging that I was cited for was a test put in to be looked at during the workshop to see if it was a viable temporary solution to the problem. One thing I need to add here, this was put in just prior to the Memorial Day weekend because there was 25 to 40 ATVs going to travel this area during the Memorial Day weekend, and it would give us a good idea whether this was going to hold up, whether it's a viable solution or what, you know, and the workshop was following the Memorial Day weekend. The bridging could have been approved, expanded, or taken out after the workshop. The local NPS officials running this workshop twisted this workshop away from the main issue that we'd had set up. I never applied for a permit because I did not think I needed one. As former State Representative Dick Schultz testified, we were never told we needed a permit. We were just attempting to help out the NPS and retain our access. I never told Mr. Sharp that I did not apply for a permit because I thought that I would never get it. Mr. Sharp's testimony to this effect is mistaken. Of all the people involved in this, I was the only one cited. We have been putting in planks and plywood for over 10 years to bridge bad sections of these trails. And I've never been told we could not do this. The NPS has been using these fixes for several years, but has never said anything about them. There have been permanent bridges built in this area that the NPS knows about that they did not require a permit. either before or after, as the attached photos will show. Which, for the record, the bridge will be the top left picture and the bottom left picture. The top right and the bottom right pictures is some bridging that my father put in well over 10 years ago that's still there. This citation has cost me dearly, including indirectly, the loss of my daughter. I challenged this citation because I felt I had to show how the NPS can twist things in order to force out an inholder. We are disappointed that despite our best efforts, you did not understand what was really happening here.
Has the giver seen these photographs?
Yes, sir. The county approach the bank.
Yes, you hand it to the clerk, please. There appear to be no legal reason not to proceed with sentencing the defendant is judged guilty as charged in violation of 36 CFR 5.7. Some comments. First of all, the defendant's memorandum suggests that the government brought this charge as a Class B to avoid a jury trial. The government has identified, nor has anyone else identified, any particular charge that would have been appropriate. The prosecutor has discretion in deciding how to bring a charge, and I think that you received a fair trial. You may not agree with the outcome, but the court spent considerable time reflecting on this, probably much more than a jury would have, although there would have been more people on a jury. There's a statement about suspending imposition of sentence. No one has cited any authority for that. Sentencing is not a matter that's just open for the court to decide what to do. There's statutory limitations and parameters of what sentence is appropriate. So I cannot defer imposition of sentence. The argument is that you didn't know you need a permit, but you had applied for and received a permit in the past for other projects. The statement is made that you were never warned. Park Service didn't say that you needed a permit. Well, you don't have to tell a duck hunter that you need a duck stamp. You don't have to tell a fisherman that he needs a fishing license. You know that the Park Service asserts regulatory authority in this area. You live out there. And you were certainly present at the Solana meeting when this was discussed. Now, I don't think I've missed the points of your defense here that Mr. Ross has discussed and presented. The problem is that I can't change the law. I don't think that what was presented nullifies the law. And the Park Service is a regulatory authority. They represent the public at large. And essentially, they disagree with your view as to whether a bridge should be put in that location. Now, in terms of being forthright, it might have been more helpful to some of the participants at the meetings to be told that there's likely not to be any bridge there because we're not in favor of a trail. Basically, to get a trail, you seek a civil remedy. The Pilgrims, of course, went into court. They lost, but they sought, and they're still seeking. The case is not over finally. But the Park Service decides what trails should be there, what the impact is going to be, their environmental assessments, their requirements of notice that they have to go through. The purpose of the Solana meeting was not to discuss the procedure, the permit process per se. It was to discuss alternatives. And perhaps from the government's point of view, they wanted to see whether or not they could be convinced that there should be a trail there, or that a simple fix would not harm the the property. But of course, they're looking at it over a period of time. Once you have a trail there, then the expanded use of it. It's doubtful that the Park Service Ranger could waive the application of the permit requirements. I have rejected any defense of entrapment. And your statement that that you didn't apply for a permit because you didn't think you would receive one, I think is telling. But even without that statement, now you say that you didn't apply for one because you didn't think one was needed. And that defies the past history of the case. I'm as interested in the future as I am in what's happened in the past. And your attorney stood up and has indicated through an example, and I agree with his example about lifestyle. It's hard to help people today because you never know if they're going to turn on you. But whether it applies here is debatable. You've indicated, too, your disappointment. And so I assume that you agree with the remarks of your attorney that you're not likely to be cooperative in the future. Well, you don't have to be part of the solution, but you cannot be part of the problem. And so you certainly can't pursue something that the Park Service has not authorized. Now, there were three spots, bridges, areas that were built. You were not the only one. You didn't do all that by yourself. Perhaps you were a leader in it because of your status and the ownership of the lodge and location. The government has filed only one ticket. The average fine under the bail forfeiture schedule is $250. The sentencing guidelines don't apply here. If they did, and the court is not prohibited from using their guidance, they would direct the court to consider all relevant conduct, which would be the three structures. As your attorney indicates, they held meetings. One reason they have to provide some for public input. But again, I can't change the law. And the law is that you have to have a permit to make some of these changes. Now, the government has not asked that you remove those platforms or pallets yourself. They've not asked that you pay restitution or reimburse the government for the cost of doing that. I've considered that. As far as access rights, though, the law just simply doesn't allow a citizen to create a temporary solution that takes a permit. And the fact that other bridging is there really doesn't change the situation here. The Park Service may have decided to live with those. The impact may have been absorbed in terms of what additional public use there will be because of those. Maybe certainly some access might be appropriate. So I've considered all of these factors, and even though I'm concerned that the Park Service is not as candid as they could have been, I'm also concerned that you took it upon yourself to erect a solution here when you didn't have the right to do so. The Congress gave the Park Service the authority to regulate that area, not you, not me. But it's up to me to decide the appropriate fine. So the government is asking for $1,500, which of course is well above the collateral forfeiture amount, the usual amount. And it's a general rule that a defendant is not penalized for going to trial. You have the right to come to trial, to test your defense, to present your case. You may prevail, you may not. So I certainly am not going to go along with the government's fine simply because you put them to the expense. Now, a comment was made that the government would have been better off to spend the money to fix the trail rather than prosecute this case. Well, the point is that they don't want the trail, so they don't want to fix it because they don't want it. And they certainly have to uphold the law because it's important for deterrence of you and others. There's some punitive aspect to taking the law into your own hands. And that's the way the system we have. There's a penalty for making a mistake. But the short of it is that they don't have to spend the monies in a particular way. So reflecting on this, what I think is a fair fine under the circumstances here is $500. So this is a third of what the government's asking for. Basically, there's one ticket. And I think that helps do some justice to this. It's not a compromise because you lost the case. You lost the case on the law. I can't change the law, and I think it's being fairly applied here. The government has not asked for probation, so there's no reporting requirements. There is a special assessment of $10 because that's mandatory. And that concludes the case, except, of course, for your right to appeal and for your right to seek a civil remedy in the courts. So you can always ask for a permit. If it's turned down, you can appeal that administratively. You can go to the court. Maybe the APA applies. Your attorney can advise you on what remedies you have. But you certainly are not allowed to just go out there and create a structure. That's in violation of the regulation. So if you'll please stand, sir, I'll impose that sentence at this time. Pursuant to the decision of the court and the parties having been heard on this matter, it's adjudged that you pay a fine to the United States in the sum of $500 and a special assessment of $10. Do you need any additional time to pay the $500? Payment of that will not affect the appeal time. You may be seated. You have 10 days to appeal this decision. After that, if you have not, the case becomes final. So your attorney will file a notice of appeal if you choose, or it's just basically your choice. So he has the right to do that. You should go ahead and pay the fine. If you prevail, ultimately, the monies can be refunded to you. So I encourage you to, first of all, we're sorry about your daughter. I don't know all of the facts of that case. It's easy to look at something as if this hadn't happened, then that wouldn't have. You wouldn't have been in a particular place or whatever. I can't really see blaming the Park Service for that, but we're sorry that that happened, and I'm sure they are too. As far as cooperating with the Park Service, I hope you'll keep an open mind, and if you don't agree, pursue your remedies. But you need to at least listen to what they have to say and not turn a deaf ear or refuse to even read anything that they say or put out, because this is going to affect your lifestyle out there and other people around there too. So we all have to get along, even though we don't agree with decisions another person makes. That's our system. The benefit of our country is that we have the freedom to speak out and to be heard and to pursue remedies to the last resort. So that's the decision. In this case, a judgment will be entered and served on counsel of record. You've made your court appearances, so any bail is exonerated. There's no longer any travel restriction or other conditions of bail that apply. Anything else that the government has?
No, Your Honor.
Mr. Ross?
Yeah.
That'll be in recess.
All rise. This matter is now adjourned. This court stands adjourned. Subject to call.